So we are Daf Mem Tet. We're Daf Mem Tet, a long Daf. Just try and go through it quickly. It's not so complicated. A lot of the stuff in it we've already seen before. But we're at the bottom of Mem Chet Amud Bet, where we're discussing an interesting question. So remember, we're still in the mindset of the Machloket Amoraim between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan about an Arevon, right? Whether this Arvon, how do they pronounce it?
Aravon.
Now, what's a dikduk? Aravon, right?
Aravon.
I'm always worried, you know, about these things. Mm-hmm. This Aravon, if when you put the Aravon down, have you done a kinyan? Have you bought everything? Or have you only bought the value of the Aravon? Yeah. Okay? That's what we're discussing, because then comes along Shemitah, and like we said yesterday, that when you've got a loan during Shemitah, so the loan is wiped out by Shemitah, unless it's a loan against the Mashkon. So this Aravon could be the Mashkon. So the question now is, if you've got an Aravon against the Mashkon, a loan against the Mashkon, but the Mashkon is not the whole value of the loan, so what happens to Shemitah? Is it considered the Aravon is against the whole loan, even though the value isn't the same, and therefore the whole loan is secured during Shemitah? Or is only that portion of the loan that's covered by the Aravon secured for Shemitah, and the rest of the loan gets knocked out? Okay, that was Rabbi Yochanan. Rav, let's think in that. Understand? When you've got the loan there, it's not considered that you you don't have to go in and take away anything from him because he's already set it aside. That's the rationale behind it. He's not, you're not oppressing him. That wasn't part of his asset base to begin with. He had set it aside, dedicated to the loan. Okay, so now we have a case of Yamavil Chaveiro. We're trying to see now this Machloket Rav and Rav Yochanan we can attribute to a Machloket Tanaim. Right? Hamavid Khavera Shmita, Bishad Shavet a Pedic, only worth half. And a Meshamet Yerushim Gamna. Yerushim Gamna says that Eino Meshamet, full stop. Rav Yuranasi Omer, Ima Yamashkon, Kereged Halvato, if it's a dedicated loan, it won't Meshamet. But if it's not dedicated, it will Meshamet, even though there's an Aravon. Now, we tried to explain yesterday, was like on top of a floating guarantee that wasn't necessarily specific to this loan. I don't think that's 100% right, but that's how I understand it. Okay, now the question is as follows. The Gemara says, "My Eino Meshamet." When we said Eino Meshamet, it doesn't get knocked out, right? Remember, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said it doesn't get knocked out at all, and Rabbi Yudanasi said if it was a Mashkon neged Alvadas Meshamet, what does it Eino Meshamet mean? The Kamarash bug. So now we're going on with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. When he said Eino Meshamet, what did he mean? What is that, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? When he said it doesn't get knocked out, he meant only the part that was equal the value of the Aravon. Then we would say that he said only that part doesn't get knocked out, and the balance does get knocked out. Mm-hmm. And the Rabbi Yonasi says that does get knocked out. He would say it all gets knocked out. Bichlal, Rabbi Yonasi, Saval Hachpal Ganami Meshamet. Then you have to say that because there's a machloket between them, right? Exactly, this is a machloket. Otherwise, it's not a machloket. Ela mashkon de nakit lamalas. According to that, then why would a person have a mashkon? According to Rabbi Yonasi, who says that irrespective of whether you've got the mashkon or not the mashkon, any out gets knocked out, then why bother having a mashkon? Is the question clear? No, you obviously should be before Shmita. You can't give a loan during Shmita. Right, always so. Before Shmita. But the question is, if you knew, why would a guy take a mashkon? Because he said, listen, I'm happy to lend you the $100,000, but I'm not going to lose this money during Shmita. So therefore, I give it to you negative mashkon, and I know that Shmita, I'm immune by Shmita from Shmita. So comes along Rabbi Yudasi and says, no, you're only immune to the value of the Aravon. Rabbi Yudasi says, Rabbi Yudasi says, you aren't immune at all. So if I'm not immune at all, there's no protection from Shmita, then why did I even bother taking the mashkon? No. Let's say I gave you the loan because I don't care, but why give you the mashkon?
Rabbi Yudasi says, you're not immune
at all.
At all, but I thought then it says
that's right. I mean, Shimon Gamliel says
that only that part that you're is not covered by the
that's Rabbi Yehuda Shimon Gamliel.
No.
Yes, look at Elaima Kenegdo. Look at Elaima. Look at the second line of the Gemara. Elaima Kenegdo. If we say that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, when he said Eino Meshamet, he's only speaking about Kenegdo. What is Kenegdo? Kenegdo is the amount that was secured,
right?
Right, Michlal infers from that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Savar Lahach Palga, this half that's securing the loan, Nami Meshamet is also knocked out. In other words, it's all gone.
Okay.
So according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, what was the purpose of the Aravon? It's a good question. El mashkon de nakid lamalei. So why do you bother taking a mashkon? We're talking now about Shemitah. We don't care about anything else. We're caring now about Shemitah. Okay. Let's focus into Shemitah, right? So the Gemara says like this, El elav shema mina. So we learn from this. Look at Rashi. El mashkon de daf te tafas. Lamai tafas. What do you take it for? Im lo liot mishkon tachat shovyo. Uvahahi miha lo karina be lo yigos. See that? That's why I took it, because at least for this amount, there's no lo yigos. The Shemitah should save us. Says the Gemara, Ele lav shma minat. We learn from this what? My eno meshamet. What does eno meshamet mean in that machloket? The Kamar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, eno meshamet bakulo. We have to therefore say that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, when he said eno meshamet, he meant that all is saved. Even though you've only got a mashkon on a part of it, it's all saved. And then you've got a machloket, and then comes Rabbi Yerasi and says, no, only that's what you understood, right? So you already jumped to the maskan, right? Eno meshamet, the Kamar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, eno meshamet bakulo. So now we understand. Umay meshamet dekam Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said "Anu meshamet," what was he speaking about? Lahach palga de lo naki lemashkon. Now we understand. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi meant only in this half that you never had a secured portion for it. Ubahakem iflegan. This is the machlok between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. The Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel savar kli kulo kone that even though now we go back to our machlok of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Forget about Shemitah for a second. Now we say, just like there, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said that the Eravon guarantees you the whole amount for the loan, so too, when a person puts down a deposit, that deposit buys him everything. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, no, that deposit only buys you the value of the deposit. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi savar kenegdo hu koneh. That's it. So now we've made a beautiful parallel between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. But there's only one problem. Okay. The Gemara doesn't like it. The Gemara says, lo. No, sounds beautiful. It's great. Took up about a quarter of an amud, but we're not happy. Why? My Enel Meshamet, the Ka'amar, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. What was that Enel Meshamet not being annulled that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel spoke about? Lahach palge de nakit alei mashkon. Michlal, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Sava lahach palge nakit alei mashkon. Nami Meshamet. Said no, it's like we had in a Havamina. That's what we thought originally. So now the question returns. So now we have the question. So what do you have the mashkon for? Ella mashkon de nakid lamale. So he says, Lezichron dvarim ba'alma. This is just a zichron dvarim. This is a memorandum of understanding between the two of them. It's a dmei retzinut. It's to show that you're serious. So it's got no value whatsoever. With regard to Shemitah, it's got no value whatsoever, and therefore we don't know what they would say with regards to Kenyan. So we just say, all we're saying is that we know that there's Rav and Rav Yochanan, we just can't draw the parallel behind this. So the Gemara brings a Maaser Rav, Gani Yabu Lezuzay Akitna. So we've seen on the Melach, on the salt and everything, now we're going to see the whole story a few times. So Rav Kahana gave money. Yahavuleh, that someone gave him money to look after like a deposit on cotton or kidneys, actually it's a flax. Linen flax, right. Kidney in the Gemara is not cotton, it's flax. Right? Pishtan, I think that's what we call it, right? Does Rashi say anything there? No, but Pishtan normally, right. So he says over here, does Steiner say Pishtan?
Pishtan,
yeah. Okay. Rav Kidney, Yahavuleh, Zudeva Kidney. Lesof Yaker Kitna, the flax god became expensive, and now he thought maybe he could not have to sell it. Atla came to Rav, so he came in front of Rav Kana, came to Rav Amarle. Now we know what Rav says, right? Rav and Rav Yochanan, the machloket is Rav says that the Eravon is on Kulo, right? Remember, on Nemchet Amud Bet. Itmar Eravon, Rav Amar Kenegdo, who called Rav Yochanan Amar Keneg, other way around, sorry. Rav says Kenegdo only to the value of this. It's always good to check. Right? On thing, Rabbi Yochanan says Keneged Kulo. So we can already understand where the halacha is going here, right? Machlok Rabbi Yochanan, halacha Rabbi Yochanan, normally. Right? So he says like this, but he comes to Rav. Amale b'mayne nakid zuzay. Havlehu. To the value that you got the money, give him. That amount is bought. Rav's consistent with Rav. Rav says Kenegdo, right? Ve'idach. Edach rushes the balance of the money, right? The leftover kitna that he wanted 100 tons and he gave enough money for 1 ton. The 1 ton give him and the balance dvarim ninhu. It was just dumb words. Okay, now dvarim, we saw it already yesterday, dvarim, right? When we saw dvarim, we said, Avamishe para. You got to be careful with your word. You can't just do some words. Not a problem. Yeah. And look what he says here, Rabbi Rav. Udvarim ein bahem mishum michusrei amana, and it doesn't make you into a liar because of dvarim. That was dvarim. It doesn't make you into michusrei amana. And ein po mishapara, right? Look at Rashi there. Dvarim minu, the first narrow lines of Rashi. Dvarim minu below maot rav letamei da amar kenegdu kone. Right, only about that amount there, right? So the Gemara says the itmar. We got a machloket amoraim here. Rav Amar ain by Mishum Mechus Shamana. Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh by Mishum Mechus Shamana. Now we understand why Rav Yochanan says Mishum Mechus Shamana. Because Rav Yochanan says a guy puts down 10%, he bought the whole lot. Because words are relevant. Absolutely. That is the understanding. That is what, that's like Lahavdi. I don't know, maybe not Lahavdi. It's like in the diamond business, you say Mazel Brocha. You only have a written contract. I think so. Begadol. Right? I think it still works. Okay. I'm not a diamond, but I think it still works. Okay. Right, so now the Gemara, so now we see a Meitiv al Rav. So now we've got a Meitiv. Gemara is a bride here to Cholek on Rav, who says that there's no Mechush Rav. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, my Talmud Omer, Hin Tzedek. Look at the Pasuk there. The Pasuk says in Vayikra, it says, Mosnei Tzedek, right, your scales should be righteous. Avnei Tzedek, your stones, the weights should be righteous. Efat Tzedek, your measures should be righteous. Vehin Tzedek, and here is another type of measure. Yelachem. Ani Hashem lukachem, Hashem tzedek, Hashem got you out of Egypt. In other words, be just. Tzedek, tzedek, rather, we're looking for righteousness. Be clever, be honest and just. Every way that you conduct your behavior. So the Gemara's question is, what do you have to have hin tzedek for? Because hin, look at Rashi there, hin, bichlal eifa. Now we jump in the gap. Look at Rashi, the second narrow lines of Rashi. Hin, bichlal eifa. Sheahin, the hin is 12 lug. Ve'eifa, shlosha, se'in. And an Eifa is 3 Se'in, which is Ayin Bet Lugin, 72 Lugin. So you've got 6 Hin in a Eifa, right? Because if that is, a Hin is 12 Lug, and a Se'in is 72 Lug. So 6 times 12 is 72, right? Yeah, 6, right? Six. So, 6, right? So you've got 6 times, in other words, the Hin is in the Lug, it's in the Eifa. Is in the Sain, is already included. So what did we say? We said a fat tzedek, hin tzedek, a fine hin are the same thing. So why do we mention hin as well? Right, look at the Gemara, hin tzedek. Valo hin bichlal eifa haya, it's included in eifa. We could learn that from what's a chidush. And lomar lecha, sheye hein shilcha. It's a play on the words. Hein means yes. Right, hein, we see that lots of times. Right, hein, ken. Hein, a hein shilcha tzedek. The love shelcha tzedek. Your yes and your no should be righteous. When you say yes to somebody, you say no to somebody, should be tzedek behind that. That's the chiddush in the yitur of the pasuk. Eifa tzedek, hin tzedek. It's a beautiful word there, right? So that's what the bride says. See, that's the case. How can Rav say that ain mechus ra'amana when you said we just stung dvarim ba'alma? We got what about hin tzedek, right? Amar Abaya. Hahu, he says no. What's that vote for? It's not teach us this over, yeah? Hahu shiloi daber echad bepeh bechad beleiv. That's something else. When you say to somebody yes, you shouldn't say yes in your mouth, but in your heart you know you're saying no. That was don't lie. Right, bidyuk, right? Bidyuk. Your inside and your outside should be the same. That's nothing to do with this. But yeah, when it comes to a pikadon, a dvarim ba'alma is not different. That's how Abaye gets out of it. And that's what we try, so we can't use that against Rav. Mate, another one. Look at that bet there of the Mishul Hashas. La'el daf mem chet. We saw that yesterday. Right? Rav Shimon Omer, afapi shamru talit koneh dinar zahav. Remember this? We saw this yesterday. Afapi, even though you're a talis, right? A garment is koneh the money. V'ein dinar zahav koneh. And the money isn't koneh the talit. Mikol makom, kach halacha. That's the halacha. However, amru, mi shepara, mi anshadur amabu, mi anshadur apalga, hu atidi pravi, mi she'en omed, b'diburo. So yeah, how can Rav tell us? Stam diburim ba'alma. Diburim ba'alma, if you, even though enachinami, the aloha is that the Mashiach is according to the money, and the money is according to the Mashiach, therefore until the God's done Mashiach, you can put another deal. But is that the right way to behave? No. So the Gemara says, you know what? It's a Tanahi. Don't get so carried away. Rav's got amidi smoch. So machlok Tanahim here. What's the Tanahi? Right, look at Rashi there, Tanahi. The Ashkechan, we found one Tana. Okay, maybe I'm being harsh here. But when Rashi says the Ashkechan, we found Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya de Palik. We've got a Tana that argues on this on the shit of Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, Rav maybe is Yesha Minismoch, Titna. We got a Mishnah, right? And that Mishnah is later on in the stuff, we'll see in Daf Pei Gimel. In about a month's time, right? Maaseh Rabbi Yochanan ben Matia, Shamar lebeno, Tzeu, Sechol lepoil. By the way, we've seen this Gemara somewhere, right? Go find me workers. Halach v'pasak lemezonot. He went and he found workers and did a deal with him. He said, this is your deal. You're going to get X amount of food for your work. U'kesheba'i etzel aviv, when he came back to his father, Amar lo, b'ni, afilu ata oseh lahem kesudat Shlomo b'sha'ato. Look at the Kutei Rashi there. Shlomo b'sha'ato, towards the bottom of Rashi. Kesudat Shlomo b'sha'ato. What does the Gemara say? Kesudat Shlomo b'sha'ato in his day. Because the Rashi says there, b'et malchuto. Tell me he was king. Why? The Melech vehedyotav. Shlomo was a Melech and he was a Hedyot. He was a king and a simple guy. Right? It was a time when he wasn't a king. So we're speaking Dafka at the time when he was a king. In other words, when he ate in all his glory. Lo yatsa, even if you make them a suda like Shlomo HaMelech, when he was a king. Lo yatsa te yedei chovatcha imahem. You will still not be yotze. Why? Sheheim b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Look at the Kutei Rashi there. Rashi has, our Rashi doesn't have it. But the Gemara there, in Memchet, Rashi's got it there. K'b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. V'usudato shel Avraham gedula mishel Shlomo. Avram's feasts were bigger than Shlomo, and these guys are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So when you, if you made a deal with them, obviously he made some deal with them that he'd give them a feast fit for Jews. He says, you got to be careful here, because a feast fit for Jews, you say, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you got to feed these guys, you're not going to get out of it. Before they start working, while it's not too late, look at the Kutei Rashi there again. Stay there for a second. In other words, renegotiate. Bread and legumes. It was a modest suda. Make it clear to them before we start the deal. Look at Rashi, Lady Kutei Rashi. This is sticking with Rav, right? The ain't kan edvarim. Udvarim ain bahem ishum mechusare amana. And words, just dumb words, it doesn't turn you into a liar. The ilu mishet chilu. If they already started working, then you couldn't go back. But they haven't started the deal yet. It's still not too late. You can renegotiate. No. In other words, tell them that you're prepared to employ them on condition that they understand that the meal is limited to pat v'kitniot. They mustn't come with the grand expectations here of a suda of Shlomo or suda of Avraham Yitzchak
V'Yaakov. Can't say I'll feed you because I'll feed you
maybe. Exactly, exactly.
Maybe something too grand.
Exactly. Feed you means they're Jews. Feed you.
Let's just
start. Be specific.
Start with this week's Parsha, Avraham and
the angels.
The angels.
This is Sudat Avraham Avinu. This is, I think Steve's right. I think you're both right. This is the suda. Obviously, I don't think about that, but I think you're both right. This is the suda of Avraham Yitzchak. Right, Basar V'Chalav. Exactly. Right, so he says there, because why? Now comes the Gemara, now comes the proof. So up until now we see that basically you can change, go back on your word, right? V'isak adat tach says a Gemara, Dvarim yesh b'mishum mechus re'amana, heichi amalei zil hararbach. If words are so important, that we saw it, hin, tzedek, right? Then how could he change his mind? How could he change his mind? So he says, the Gemara says, like, Sha'ani hatam, the poalim, the workers, gufayu lo samched atayu. It's okay, he has a separate case. Why? Because the workers themselves knew this kid was getting a bit, they didn't really think that he had any real authority to negotiate. Right? So the Gemara says, Ma taima, meide yadeh alavu samach. They all know that the father's the boss here. Okay? So the Gemara says, if that's the case, ihachi afilu hitchilu melochen ami, then why was he so particular? Right, Rabbi Yochanan ben Matia, that it had to be before they started the work. According to this Svara, even when they started the work, they understood that that wasn't the deal. So he says, no, if they'd started the work already, then they would have relied on the father. What would they have said to themselves? Would have said as follows. Amar he told his father this. His father was happy that this was the condition. That's why the father never said anything. Exactly. But once the father said renegotiate, they were expecting this anyhow. But it never came as a surprise, right? Okay. So now the Gemara says as follows. Now we've explained Rav. Okay? Now we've seen that Rav's got Amidis Mochri and Matya. That therefore Dvarim or Dvarim, and so long as the guy hasn't started the work yet, you can renegotiate, and we aren't really so meshuga about this hin v'lav, etc., etc., etc. So now we've got a kasha Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, no, contra Rabbi Yochanan, you couldn't do this. Contra Rabbi Yochanan, once you've done the deal, done. So we're going to turn to Rabbi Yochanan. Umiya Rabbi Yochanan hachi, v'ha Rabbi Yochanan. Now we've got a bit of a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. Because we see Rabbi Yochanan, maybe even Rabbi Yochanan agrees at this place for a bit of negotiation. Right? We've got a case where Rabbi Yochanan said to Chavero, matanan yoten lach, I'm giving you this gift. Yacholach zorbo? Can you go back? He can go back. Look at Rashi there for a second. Yachol achzorbo. Look at Rashi there. V'kashielan yachol. And we ask the kashi on that yachol. What do you mean yachol? That's pashut yachol. Ta'alo mashach. Why is it pashut that he can? Because when the guy said, I'm going to give you a gift, hasn't yet done any meshicha. V'ein koach bebeitin lekofok. What do we say? When is the kinyan done? When there's a maaseh kinyan. So that can't be anything chizuk. The Gemara says straight away. The Gemara says, no, that's pshita. Ela mutar lachzorbo. So we rephrase this. What Rabbi Yochanan already say? If you gave your friend a gift, you can go back. Right? Mutar. Look at Rashi there. Ela vadai al korchach mutar lachzorbo kamar. V'ashmainan da'afilu chishon aman aleika. You change your mind after giving a gift. Even there, it seems that you can change your mind, and there is no, it's not considered a lie. So how do we explain Rabbi Yochanan? This doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yochanan should say, no, you can never go back. So Amar Rav Papa, right? So the if you look there, that Vav, see that Vav there? Right, that Vav goes out. I read somewhere, I don't know where I saw it. I think in Rashi. If you look at Rashi, Amar Rav Papa, Rashi takes out the Vav. Rashi just says, Mode Rabbi Yochanan. Right? And not Umod. Rashi takes it. This is Mode Rabbi Yochanan. The Dibur Rashi Dibur Yochanan, and the Girin Ashas there also has Sham Umod Rabbi Yochanan. After Lo Shayach Kan De Mode LeBar Plukta Dhar Rav Shvilat B'Kulam Yachol Achzor Mikom Mikom Nakat Umode. Remember the Motzi Miklal Shamar VeKein Zeh Begitin. So even he has an issue here. This Mode, it shouldn't be here. That he leaves it in the Hagot Abach. The Girin Ashas, the Rabbi Kiva Eiga, but Rashi can take it out. So Mode Rabbi Yochanan, right? But Matana Mu'etet. Rabbi Yochanan agrees that it depends on the type of gift we're speaking about. On a Matana Mu'etet. Look at Rashi there. Mode Rabbi Yochanan Matana Mu'etet. What does he say? She'ein Mutar Lachzor. On a Matana Mu'etet. On a little Matana. You aren't allowed to change your mind. Because the person believes that he's going to get it. If I say I'm giving you this paper, what's it called? A bookmark, right? So you think there's a good chance I'm going to give it to you, right? But if I say to you I'm giving you my iPhone, so you think something's fishy here, right? You don't really expect to get it. Or maybe you don't like iPhones, then you say, well, you know, I don't want it either. But assume that you're right, so that's what he says. Right? Exactly. It seems something stranger. Yeah, and the guys are Meshugana. So that's what he says, Rashi. He says, and when Rabbi Yochanan said, you're allowed to go back on a matana, but matana merubah kamar. They're speaking about a big matana. Why? The law samcha da'ate de mekabel. Because no one really expects you that you're going to do it, right? It was in the moment. So that's not a proof against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan will say, you know, that's only about on a small matana. If we had dibur, that's reasonable for the guy to expect it, then you are not allowed to go back, right? It makes sense, Rabbi Papa says. We can see the svar in this. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yisrael shamar leben Levi. A Yisrael that said to a Ben Levi, all Levim are called Ben Levi. Look at Rashi. Le Ben Levi, call Levi Karui Ben Levi. Every Levi is called a Ben Levi. Even though we don't say Ben Kohen, funny enough. We say Ben Levi. Now, a Kohen is a Kohen, but a Levi is a Ben Levi. I don't know why. Right? She says to a Levi, Kur Maaser Yeshli Biyadi. Yeshlach Biyadi. Now, Kur, by the way, is a big amount. It's about 216 liters, according to Wikipedia. Right? A Kur. So 200 liters. So maybe it's not so much, really, if you think about it. 200 liters. If you're a farmer, not so much. Right? It says, Kur Maaser Yeshli Yeshlach Biyadi. So he says, as soon as he said that, Ben Levi, that Levi is immediately Rashai Lasot Trumat Maaser Makom Acher. And now the Levi has to take Trumat Maaser, a tenth of that he has to give to the Kohen, right? He owes the Kohen, he's got other produce somewhere else. So he immediately assumes this is his. he can immediately say, on that I'm taking the maser for that other place that I've got. And now there he's eating, it's no longer tevel. Right? Iyamar, so the Gemara says follows. Iyamar, if you say, but he can't go back anymore. Once he said it, he can't change his mind. That's why the Levi can take the Truma Maser on this for something else. But if you're telling me that the guy who's giving you the Maser to the Levi can change his mind, Amai Rashai. How can we say the Levi can make Truma on this? We're going to find that if the guy goes back, similar limud all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Same concept. You're going to end up eating Tevel. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? We try and doch it. This is a good proof, right? Therefore, this is a proof that on something reasonable, because it's reasonable to assume that this kur you would give a lay. There's something reasonable, you can't change your mind. Because if you can change your mind, the guy couldn't make bimafrish on his other stuff, right? So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara wants to try to attempt to doch it. It says, no. But my askinan, kagon chen netalomi man, who he already took it. And he brought it back to him. And that's why he can't change his mind. But if he hadn't done a meshicha yet, he could change his mind. Right? But the Gemara doesn't like that, right? So what's if that's the case, hachi, a mesefa. The end of this part says, Natno leben Levi acher. If he did, however, give it to another Ben Levi, right? The Yisrael decided in the end to give it to another Ben Levi, he hadn't given it to him yet. Ein lo alav ele taromet. He can, all that he's got is just he can be upset with him. He's got no real claim against it. Now, if he had already given it to him and he had done the Meshicha and then he gave it back to the Israel to look after, he could never have given it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So the Sefer couldn't have said that. So, but from the Sefer, we understand that in the Reisha, he hadn't done a Meshicha. And yet he still, we said he could rely on it. Okay? A bit of a rely on it. Even though we see this, V'isak Adatach, says the Gemara. Kagon, shenak lemen v'chazav v'kiretz lo, amai eno lev the taromet. Kevin de Meshicha, mamone it legabei. If he's already done the Meshicha, it's his. Right? So it can't be the case. El lav shma mina, bedelo natlo shma mina. We've got the example there. So therefore, what we're seeing over here, even though in the end the guy can change his mind, he hasn't yet given him, it's not Meshicha yet, you got to go. I think. Right? What?
Can you close the door?
Yeah, it's getting hot in here. Right? So even though that's the case, we see that when a person makes a statement which is reasonable, you can act on relying that you're going to get it, even if in the end you don't get it, right? So that's basically supports Rabbi Yochanan in the end. It's not a steer against Rabbi Yochanan. Who governed Havei the Yayib Zuzei Ashum Shemi? Now, same story here where there's like sesame seeds, and he gave a deposit on sesame seeds. Lesof Yaki Ashum Shemi, the same idea. In the end, the sesame got expensive, right? Hadru Bahu, and he changed his mind. Va'amrulei. And the guy came to him and he said, the guy came and asked for his shum shumi. He said, what are you talking about? You haven't got shum shumi. Here's your money, go. Right? This is not the previous case of the guy was nicer, right? This guy was quite a hard guy. So lo shakil zuzeh. In the end, the guy refused to take the money. And what happened? Ignuv. The stuff got stolen. So now the question is as follows. Is it now? Whose is it? Did he buy it? And therefore the money stayed with him and therefore it's his? And now they've got stolen, the original seller has to recompensate him. Or maybe not. Is he a Shomer Sachar? Maybe he's a Shomer Sachar. He's Chayav Gneva Vaveda. Right? Maybe not. That's the Gemara. They came in front of Rava. Amalas. Rava says as follows. Kevan da Amri Lach Shkol. Right? Now, so he says. Amri Lach. So now the seller says. Kevan da Amri Lach Shkol Zuzech Velo Shakilt. Okay, right. Okay. Rava is saying, since he told you, take your money, you never took it. Lo mi ba'i shomer sachar. You don't even come and tell me he's a shomer sachar. De lo have el afilu shomer chinam, nami lo have. He's not even a shomer chinam. He's got no responsibility whatsoever. He told you to take your money, you should have taken your money. So Amru lay. So they said to him, Rabbanan le Rabba. So Amru Rabbanan le Rabba. So the Rabbanan listened to Rabba telling him this, and their eyes pop open and say, Baha ba'i lik bule ale. Right? Misha para. So you know what? Shouldn't the guy at least get here? This curse, Mishapara, look at Rashi, the Rabbanik Bule. But dear Melohav Mekabel, Vishtakech, the Zuze Didei Have.
Which guy gets cursed?
The seller. The seller back, we reneged on the deal.
Right?
Reneged on the deal. He says, you should at least get the Mishapara. So Rava says to them, Amar Lahu, Hachinam, you know what, you're right. I agree with you. When I said, it's not a Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar, I'm not saying that he's packed from the curse. He just had to give them the money. Two different things altogether. Let's not confuse the situation, right? Now the question is follows. Now this story comes into question, right? The Gemara now questions the bona fides of this whole story. Look at this. Amar Rav Papi says, Amar li Ravina. Ravina told me, Le didi Amar li hahumi Rabbanan. One of the Rabbanan who involved in the story, he personally told me what went on over here. I heard it firsthand. Rav Tvut Shmei, his name is Rav Tvut. Amri Le, the other say Rav Shmuel Bar Zutri Shmei. We're not sure which one it is, but one of them was involved in the story. This guy, so right, honest, that if you'd given him the whole halal in the world, that means if you allowed him the space to move around all over the show, then you gave him all the flexibility to change what he had said, he would stick to his story. He's the guy, I trust him implicitly. And he said the story happened with him. Right, look at Rashi there. But did he have uvda? Oto mase the shumshemin aliyadi haya. He says this story with the shumshemin took place with me, right? Velo ken haya. Look at Rashi. This isn't the story that you told me now. Isn't what happened? Sheilu kibaltem latet ashumsheminim, right? Because if sheilu kibaltim, if I'd got the money for the shumsheminim, lo hayiti chozer bi b'chol chalelo shel olam. In other words, it seems like this guy's saying I'm the seller, right? I was the seller. Right? Velo al kain banu ladin ela kachaya. That's not why we came to the judgment. This is the true story. Now you're going to hear the real version. Right? Hahu yoma apanya. One nice evening. Right? Look at the kutrash. This apanya, if not erev. So one late afternoon. Hahu apanya. Demale shabbat shabtahave. It was erev Shabbos. Right? The drashi there at the bottom there. The kutrash is the erev Shabbos. Have yet tivna, and I was sitting on my porch, right, enjoying the. Can you imagine seeing the chadod? About to sing the chadod, right? The atahu gavra, and this guy comes, the kaya babi, stands at my gate. Okay, Amarli, and he says to me, "Itlach shum shemin lizvuni, can you sell me some shum shemin?" Right, erev Shabbos, right? Amri leilo, I told him, "No, I got no shum shemin to sell you." So Amarli, so he says to me, "Look." Look, Shabbos is about to come. I'm carrying this money. Can you at least look after my money for me? Right? So Shumshim is at the story now. Right? I'm relay. And I said to him, Ha bita kamach, my house is open to you. Right? Otvina bevita. You want to stick it in my house, stick it in my house. But I had nothing to do with it. He came in and he put the money in my house. The ignov, and his money got stolen. Right? Atle kame de Rava. And now we came to Rava. Right, Amar lei kol ha bite kamach lo mi bai shomer sachar d'lo have, and afilu shomer chila nami lo have. And Rava said, under these circumstances, not only isn't the house owner me, the shomer sachar, I'm not even shomer chila. Right, right. So Amri lei, and Ravina. Right, now we come back to Ravina. So now we have a story of Ravina le didi Amar li ahum rabana. Right, Ravina telling the story that this guy or Rav Tvut. Or of Shmuel Bar Zutra was hitting in the story. Now Ravina takes over again. Ravina says as follows. And I said to this guy, Faha Amrule, Rabbana le Rava. But didn't Rabbana say to Rabba, Ibaile likbulale mishe para? Didn't they say that you should get cursed? Right? So he says, Amarli lo ayud vari me'olam. This never happened.
I don't understand.
Okay, you don't understand.
I don't understand. Did it happen or did it not happen? It
didn't happen. According to him, the story was different. The story was told was that he had sold the shumshimin and therefore he reneged on his deal. There was no reneging here. So Ravina said, didn't we? We heard the story that Rabbanan said that the guy should get Mishapara and Rava agreed. He said, that's not the story. Never happened. So we can learn nothing from this basically. The end of the sugya, bottom line is the whole idea of Mishapara. The story is incorrect. Nice how the Gemara. So that's how the Gemara corrects the story, right? We could have misunderstood. Okay. Now we next line.
He does tell you if
the circumstances. Yeah, under the circumstances, it seems to be that if it was the case and you had received right and you had reneged, you would be chayev mishapara. But in this particular case, it never happened. You're right. Sorry, that's probably the best way to sum it up. You're 100% right. 100% right. Okay. All right, next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shakes V'Yadu Yadola Elona. Remember that? Rabbi Shimon said that basically depends who's got the money. We follow the money. If you've got the money in your hand, you can. And therefore, he said, the Mishnah carried on and said, right, let's actually look at that Mishnah, the Mishnah for a second. Where was the Mishnah? On Mem. Where's the Mishnah? On Mem Dalet, eh? Mem Dalet. Rabbi Shimon ben Omer, Kol Shehakesef, that's it. Kol Shehakesef Biyado Yad L'Rodak. That's the whole quote from the Mishnah.
The word V'chule is superfluous.
Right, V'chule, yeah, right. Absolutely, I was wondering what this V'chule was. That's, I thought, let's look inside it. So where we up? Where are we now? We are on, okay. I'm going to, okay. Tomorrow is a very, very short Amud Aleph, okay? So at 50 minutes, I'm going to stop wherever we get up to. I hope we'll go nicely, but let's see, okay. So it says like this. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shehakesef Biyado Yad L'Rodak B'chule. Tanya Rabbi Shimon, Eimatai, what are we speaking about? When is it that we're talking that the money is in your hands? At what stage in the deal? So it says like this. There are two conditions here. One, Bizman Shehakesef V'Hapeirot B'Yad Mocher. Words, he's already got the money, but he hasn't yet given over the fruit. So there's been no Meshicha. But why is it different to Chachamim? Even Chachamim would agree that right? This is a story. This is, even Chachamim would agree with this, right? Because there's no Meshicha yet. Let's carry on. Aval kesef b'yad mocher. But if the kesef is in the hands of the seller, u'peirot b'yad lokeach, and the buyer has already got the peirot, eino yachol lachzor bo, he can't go change his mind anymore. Right? Why? Ipnei shekaspo b'yado. This is a brighter. Ipnei shekaspo b'yado. Now, this is a little bit confusing, right? Exactly. We would have thought ipnei shekvar nasa ma'ase kinyan. Because it's like you said, there's a Meshicha, and that's why. So the Gemara's got a question now. B'yado? What do you mean b'yado? In whose hands? Because it seems like peirot b'yad lokeach en yachol lachzor bo ipnei shekaspo b'yado. But it seems to be that Kaspor is in the hands of the buyer still. Look at Rashi. In the second narrow lines of Rashi. That the buyer's already got his money. Doesn't make sense, right? The Gemara's got a problem with this. Because it says, bayad lokeach, and bo, right? It seems like the lokeach can't chozer bo. Bayad lokeach. Now we're speaking about the lokeach. And therefore, Eino Yachol Lachzor Bo the Lokeach, and we're still speaking about the Lokeach. Why not? Mipnei
Shekaspo Biyado Biyad Lokeach. That's good. Now the question makes sense. If it was a situation where the money's buyer had given the money, but the seller had not yet transferred the price, then it would be obvious.
But this is also obvious, though.
No, because here you have a situation where the buyer hasn't given the money yet, but the seller has already transferred the property. So maybe is there a Meshicha? Is there not a Meshicha?
So you say according to Chachamim it makes sense.
Yeah.
But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who was this over here? Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, he said in the Mishnah, Kol Shehakesef Biyado Yado Al Elyona.
Right. Because the buyer still has the Yad Elyona. How do we deal with
it? So you touch the charts. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, it seems that the buyer has got the goods. And he's got the money. Right. Therefore, even though he's done a Maaseh Kinyan, because he's still got the money in his hands, he can change his mind. Yeah. So it's different to Chachamim. Chachamim would say, no, once you've done the Meshicha, you can't change your mind. Mm-hmm. And so that's okay. So the Gemara says as follows. B'yad mocheru. What do you mean? He says, we're talking about a case. Bizman shakesef perot b'yad mocher. We just said a second ago. Tell Rabbi Amr Shimon, bizman shakesef v'ha perot b'yad mocher. Aval kesef b'yad mocher, perot b'yad lokech, en yachol lachzor bo, mibnei shekaspo b'yado. So it's a bit of a mishmash. The question is, you're right. B'yad mocher hu. Right? So what's the problem? It'll be b'nei shedemei kaspo b'yado. Said, we correct this whole story. And because you know what? When we say demei kaspo, we mean the proceeds of the kesef is b'yado. Why? The money's in the mocher's hands, but the proceeds, the demei kaspo, the proceeds are in the fruits. What he paid for. And that's a pshit. That's absolutely. So what's the Gemara say? Pshit. The Gemara says pshita. Well, then we don't need Rabbi Shimon to come mechadesh as that. That's pashut. The din of Meshicha over here. It'd be the Maaseh Kinyan. So Amar Rabbi says, what are we talking about? Kagon shaita aliyah shelokeach muskeret b'yad mocher. The aliyah, right? The second floor of the house, right? Mm-hmm. The attic of the buyer was rented to the seller. So what's the chiddush here now? We can already think about this ourselves. We said, remember Rabbi Yochanan said, Ma'ot minat Torah konot, that money actually buys. But why were Chachami metakein that you have to have a Mashicha? Why?
So you wouldn't burn it. Wouldn't
so if it got burnt, the seller would take responsibility. But now the seller has rented the house of the buyer. So in whose house is the goods at the moment? In the buyer's house. The buyer's house is that their particular space is being rented by the seller. So if the house is going to burn down, whose trouble is it now the house burns down?
Buyer.
The buyer. So who's going to make an effort to save the house from burning down?
Buyer.
The buyer. So who's going to look after the goods if they burn down? The buyer. So therefore, maybe in a catechism, money is kone. Because the seller's already not really the guy who's going to save the fire from burning down the house. The buyer. That's the Gemara. Time am I. Takin Rabbanan Mishicha. So we said over here, Amrav Hachmaskinan Kagon Shata Aliyah Shalokach Muskabi Arab Mocher. Time am I Takin Rabbanan Mishicha. Why do Rabbanan say Mishicha when in actual fact, Minat Torah money bars? Gzer Hashem Yamalun is Vuchitecha Baliyah. Because he'll tell me that your wheat's burning down in my attic. Hacha Birshut Elokayach. But whose Rishut is it? To the Rishut of the buyer. Inafla Dleka Be'onis. If the fire should break out suddenly, Ihu Tarichu Might. Who's going to go and bring it? Who's going to worry about the fire? Wow. The buyer. So therefore, in a case like this, once the buyer's got it, in his once that it's in the buyer, it's even though it's in the seller's possession, right?
Right.
Not lamrot. Because he rented the place, that place is it's the seller's reshut,
okay.
But it's in the buyer's house.
Okay.
And if there's a fire, the buyer's going to be the one running around sorting out the fire. So we don't have to worry about the buyer relying on the seller to save his chitin, because the buyer's going to save his chitin anyhow because he wants to save his house. So in a case like this, we say that even though he hasn't done a mashicha yet, it's still bought. The money bought it because we haven't got to worry about the problem that the takana was coming to solve. Okay? It's a long way around, but I think it's quite forward. Okay. Now we've got the guy. We've seen everything except wine in the story, right? Normally we always got wine. We've seen kotke pishtan, we've seen chitin, we've seen shumshamin. We've seen everything. We haven't seen wine. Gave wine. The sof shamadika. Now we've seen this Gemara before, by the way. We referred to this Gemara in another Gemara, right? So he gave money on wine. Lesof shama the kabai lemintzave the bay parzak rufila, that this Mishneh Lemelech, this guy called Parzak, who's the Mishneh Lemelech, he's going to get married. And we saw this, and therefore he's going to confiscate all the wines in the town for the wedding, right?
Okay.
So he realizes this guy that my deposit sitting in that guy's house, they're going to confiscate my wine. He's going to tell me it's mine. Therefore, I want to quickly get out of this deal, right? Amale havli zuzi, give back my money. So now it's the other way around. Now it's the buyer who wants to pull out, not the seller, right? Lo be'inecham, I love my wine. So atle came to Rav Chisda. So they came to Rav Chisda and said like this. Amale kederech she'tiknu meshicha b'mochrin, kach tiknu meshicha b'lekuchot. Big chidush. Don't think that only the mocher, right, gets the money when the God is a Mashicha. Even the seller, the buyer also has to do Mashicha. In other words, not just the money is maknet to the seller when the buyer does Mashicha, but the buyer only takes ownership when he does Mashicha. It comes to protect the buyer as well. Look at Rashi there. He says like this, Parzak Shem HaSar, is the name of the Sar, Rufila Mishneh Lemelech, right, he wants to get married. Kederek she'tiknu meshicha lachzorbo, just like until the buyer had done meshicha, hamocher calls man shlo mashach alokayach. Right, the seller. So long as the buyer hasn't done meshicha, the seller can get out of the deal. Kach tiknu meshicha lachzor ben alokochot. So too, since until the buyer does meshicha, he can also get out of the deal. Okay, so it works both ways. No, until Mashiach is done, each side can get out of the deal. So you've got to give back your money. And the Mashiach will give back the money. Okay. Next Mishnah. Okay, it was a nice Mishnah. Ha'ona'a. Now the rest of the Perek, by the way, from now on till end of the Perek. Rak Perek HaZahav continues until Ezur Neshech is to Samach. To Daf Samach. Nun, so we've actually got about 10 more Dapim. of this perek of Avazahav. And the rest of the perek is all speaking about Ona'ah. Right now, Ona'ah, we've seen this before many times. We saw it in Baba Kama, we saw it in Kiddushim, we saw it in Gittin. Right? Ona'ah is a question of the, at what stage have you done the seller or the buyer out by enough money to enable you to cancel the deal. So we said up to a shtut, right? Up to 18%, 1/6. You've got to basically just make good. If it's more than 1/6, then you can cancel the deal. Right? You don't have to. You can. Obviously, you've always got the chance to make good and pay in the difference. But if you overpaid by 25%, you can come to the seller and say, I want my money back. And if you underpaid by 25%, the seller can come to you and say, I want my goods back. But if it's up to 18%, 1/6, then you've got to, you can't cancel the deal, just you've got to make restitution. Okay, so that's really the threshold over here of that's Ona'ah, right? So now the Mishnah is going to discuss, it's a little bit complicated. Maybe we'll discuss the Mishnah and then we'll carry on to one of the Gemara. The Mishnah discusses the situation as follows. There's a machloket tanaim here in the Mishnah, right? Between, we'll sit us down later in the Gemara. But the question is as follows. When we say a sixth, do we say a sixth of the transaction or a sixth of the value of the goods? Okay? We'll see examples in a second. So say, for example, I'll give you an example outside the Gemara. Let's say that the goods are worth 6 shekels. Okay? And you paid 7 shekels. So it's obvious that you paid more than a sixth. You paid exactly, 1/6 of what the goods were worth. No, 1/6. You paid 7. It was Shaveshesh and you paid Sheva.
Ah,
so you paid 1/6 more of what the goods are worth. Now the question is, it's so the Gemara will make it clearer. But that's, so now we've got to understand whether it's only of what the goods are worth, or let's say the goods were worth 5, right? And you paid 4. So now you paid 1/5 less than what they were worth. Right? So you paid more than a sixth. And if you paid 7 and they were worth 6, or they were worth 7 and you paid 6, so you paid 1/6 of what you paid, but you paid 1/7 of what it's worth. So as far as what it was worth is concerned, you never paid a sixth. You paid less than a sixth, because a seventh is less than a sixth. But in terms of the transaction fee, you paid a sixth. Right? 1/6 less than you should have paid. Got it? No.
Okay.
It's important. You got it?
Yeah.
In other words, that's a good example. If it was worth 6 and you paid 5, so you paid 1/6 of what it was worth less. But of what you paid 20% less than the value of what it was worth. Because that 1/6 was 1/5. Why are you laughing? Exactly, right? It's from the right. From the gross, from the net. Okay? So that's the question. The question is, have to be both. Does it have to be a sixth of the value of the goods and a sixth different to what you should have paid? Or is one of them enough to make it a shtut? Okay? That's the question. Okay. Matnitin. Ha'ona'ah, right? Mentioned, what is ona'ah? Arba'a kesef. Mi estrim va'arba kesef the seller. Right? A seller, we know, a silver coin is worth 24 copper coins. So now 4 out of the 24 is 1/6. Because 6 fours are 24. Right? Shtut le mekach. A sixth of the mekach. Now the Gemara says mikach. I think it's mikach, right? Shtut le mikach. Right? The mikach over here is the value, a sixth of the value of the goods. Now we see already the problem. Is this shtut le mikach, meaning the value of the goods, this has to be a sixth? Or even a sixth of what you paid for the goods. That's going to be the problem to understand this now, right?
Why need to mention Arba? Because the mainstream Arba, because when you say Shtut.
Okay, you're right. And we can see just now that Arba could be, is it 4? Because it was worth 24 when you paid 20? And therefore it's 4 of 24? Or it was worth 20 and you paid 24 and it was 4 of 24? The Gemara will go to town on this little line in the Mishnah over here, right? It's actually good. We've got a bit of relaxed time to explain it, right? So that's the first question. And the second question of the Mishnah is Ad Matai Mutalach. How long have you got? So we say the question like this: Ad Kadesh Yirila Tagol Krovet. The Mishnah says as long as it takes to show it to a relative or to another trader. And then Rabbi Tarfon said like this: Hodar Rabbi Tarfon, Lord, Ha'ona'ah Shmone Kesef Mi eshrim v'arba kesef, etc. Rabbi Tavron was mach or mekri lugred. He said, in order for it to be ona'a, has to be 8 of 24, which is a shlish lemekach. Right, not a six, double the amount has to be mekach. V'samchu tagrei lod, and the traders of lod were very happy until he said, kol hayom mutarach. So you haven't got to show your friend or your relative or a neighbor the whole day. You got right. Amrulo yaniach lan Rabbi Tavron mimkomenu v'chazul. We'll leave Rabbi Tavron. We're not saying start anymore. We got too much time to go check the price, and we'll stick with the shtut and with only enough time to show or your relative or another trader.